Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 23 March, 2025, Romans.
Before we get started this morning, there's a few announcements. First of all, Linda Gray, back here today, is her birthday. Happy birthday to you. This gal is one tough bird, let me tell you. She was the one that got hit while she was helping children cross the street. A driver came and hit her, ran over her. I told her, next time, take your 45 and just shoot the hell out of that car. You know? Let me do that. Happy birthday. And secondly, about 30 minutes ago, Randy Frick went home to be with the Lord. And of course, you know Randy as a song leader here for a long time. Randy and Dodie and Deb and I have been friends all the way back to our college days. And Randy is absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is in his mansion. He's in his mansion in heaven. We have a soul full of fragrant memories. And Deb and I, when we were married, we went to the Canadian Rockies, Banff, Alberta, and Lake Louise. And the Banff Springs Hotel, if you've never been there or seen it, absolutely amazing. Right on the Bow River. And Randy and Doherty joined us on many trips up there to the Banff Springs Hotel. And they have a lounge there called the Rundle Lounge. It's elevated, all glass windows on one end, overlooks the Canadian Rockies and the Bow River. And Randy, in fact, one of the last times we saw him, he said, "I sure would be great to be up at the Rundle Lounge at Banff Springs Hotel one more time." Well, I don't know what his mansion looks like, but I bet there's a Rundle Lounge there. And I can't wait to join him, because at that Rundle Lounge, we'd have a glass of the best wine. Now, whatever the best wine is down here, and nothing that Tim drinks back there. The wine in heaven comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can see him in that Rundle Lounge with wine provided by Jesus Christ and celebrating being there with his Lord. And I just hope that when I get up there and I'm out there picking cotton in his plantation, that he'll let me come up and have a glass of wine with him. See? So if you could, it's a celebration. I'm Randy Frick and Doty are two winner believers. And Randy went through Dying Grace, the fantastic blessings of Dying Grace, and now he's face to face with the Lord. Remember Dodie in your prayers, that will be, it's so hard when you're married, this is your soulmate, and he's in heaven, and you're still here. So if you remember her in your prayers, that would be fantastic. All right. Well, I was going to... March Madness doesn't even seem important right now. But after the first round in March Madness, and we're halfway through the second round, she's not here, she's teaching the little people. Sherry Bingham won the whole thing last year. The ladies know what they're doing in this. The guys don't know anything. Sherry's in the lead again with 103 points after 1.5 rounds. Clay, he was second last time too. He's second this time at 101. And then my son Derek, and I can't figure this one out. He's usually at the bottom. Derek's third at 96. And how did I get in there? I have no way of knowing. But that's why, you know, when you flip a coin, which way? That's me at 92. E. Miley is next at 86. My brother Don's at 85. Deacon Al is 84. And then three people tied here. Natalie, little Natalie filled out hers all by herself. And Courtney and Jeff. Deacon Jeff, they're all at 77. There's the top 10. They're all in the hunt, okay? Now there's also the ones. We have a hat. Did you bring the hat? You did? It's a hat that says loser on it. And the person who comes in last gets to wear that for a year. Right now, it's between my son, Dave, and his son, Hunter. They're fighting it out to wear that loser hat. But I guarantee you, nobody's going to take it from them. They are way down on them. And I said, well, Hunter, what did your dad tell you? Because he's not here. What did your dad tell you? He said, here's the teams I want in the Final Four. Here's the teams I want in the Elite Eight. And all the rest pick upsets. And all of them pick upsets. I said, Hunter, that was horrible advice. So they are going to, one of them, well, they'll both have it in their house. They can take turns wearing it. Loser. All right, if you would all please turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 8, and we've exegeted just the first part of verse 9. So we'll start at the corrected translation of verse 8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. And by the way, we are making a special, and they'll be available for people all over who get our classes, to have the pleasing special. That'll be made available here pretty soon. But here we have, moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. And then verse 9, we just exegeted the first part. However, you are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature, but you are in the Spirit. That's as far as we got. That phrase there has a conjunction of contrast, de, which may be translated but or yet or on the other hand, but the best way to translate it here is however. And it sets up a contrast between verse 8 and verse 9. It sets up a contrast between those under the authority and control of the sin nature with those under the authority and control of God the Holy Spirit. It also sets up a contrast between the unbeliever with the believer. And it sets up a contrast between the believer out of fellowship with God, grieving the Holy Spirit, with the believer in fellowship with God and filled with the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit in his life. And we have also a personal pronoun added here, Sue, and you don't need a personal pronoun in Koine Greek. The subject's always in the verb, so you don't have to have one. And if God the Holy Spirit, under the inspiration ministry of the Spirit, puts in a personal pronoun, it's very important, and God is putting a spotlight on. So the personal pronoun Sue is very emphatic and puts the spotlight on you. The personal pronoun Sue is you and only you. First of all, referring to believers in contrast to unbelievers. Secondly, referring to believers living the spiritual life in contrast to believers living in Satan's cosmic system. And third, a contrast between believers living by the Holy Spirit in contrast to believers living by their sin nature. However, you absolutely are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature, but you are in the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church-age believer at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Unique to this dispensation, we live in the church age. Began at Pentecost, ends at the rapture. And this blessing was never known about in Old Testament times. Unique to this dispensation, unique to the church age. So God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church-age believer at the moment of salvation, at the moment of his faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And then we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being empowered, filled with the Spirit. And we are commanded to walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. And that means we, all of us as church age, royal family of God, we all have a war going on inside of us. There's a war going on inside of us between the sin nature and God, the Holy Spirit. And the question is, who is going to control your soul? Are you living by the power of God, the Holy Spirit? Or are you living by the power of the sin nature? So we have, however, you absolutely are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature, but you are in the Spirit. And then we have the next phrase, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. This is the conditional particle aper plus the nominative singular of the noun pneuma, with the genitive singular of theos, plus the present active indicative of oikeo, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun su. Now the conditional particle aper. E-I-P-E-R. It's actually a compound word. There's the conditional particle a, and generally translated if, and then we have per added to it. So it's a per. This is a special word. It may be translated if indeed, or if after all, or assuming that. And we will translate it assuming that. And then we have pneuma plus the genitive singular of theos, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And then we have the verb oikeo. That's O-I-K-E, long O, oikeo. And oikeo is a verb that means to live, it means to indwell, it means to have one's habitation or to inhabit. And then we have a prepositional phrase, en plus the dative plural of su, in you, the believer. So the corrected translation says, however, you absolutely are not in the flesh, you're not under the control of the sin nature, but you are in the Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God indwells you or dwells in you. And for every believer in the church age, first class condition, and he does. And then he adds, however, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ. And this is the post-positive conjunction de, plus the conditional particle ae, plus the indefinite pronoun tis, plus the present active indicative of echo with the objective negative uk, plus the nominative singular of pneuma with the genitive singular of Christos. All right, the post-positive conjunction de. D-E, de. And again, this is the conjunction of contrast, correctly translated, but. And it contrasts a couple of things. First of all, it contrasts the believer with the unbeliever. And it contrasts one who has the indwelling of the Spirit with the person who does not have the indwelling of the Spirit. And that's the difference between the believer and the unbeliever. The conditional particle AE plus the indicative introduces a first class condition. This says, if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, first class condition here, and he does not, well, then he doesn't belong to God. He is an unbeliever. And then we have the indefinite pronoun tis. Looks like that in the Greek, and it looks like that in the English. Tis is translated anyone. It's an indefinite pronoun, and indefinite in the sense that there are no names. The names are left out. But it does refer to a specific category. And the specific category here is the unbeliever. So here's the principle. The unbeliever does not possess the Spirit from Christ. The unbeliever does not have the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. And then we have echo, and echo is the verb. It looks like this. E-C-H long O, echo. And echo is the verb that means to have and to hold or to possess. But we have with the verb echo the objective negative ook, and ook slams the door. The unbeliever absolutely does not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And pneuma is the word spirit. This is God the Holy Spirit, genitive singular of Christos, from Christ. So the corrected translation. But if anyone does not have the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from Christ, if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ. So another principle we have, both the Son, the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, and the Father, both of them send the Holy Spirit to the one who believes in Christ in the church age, in our dispensation. This unique dispensation of the church age. And we are, in the Old Testament, anyone who believed in Christ had regeneration. They were born again. They were family of God. But we are far more than family of God. We are royal, royal family of God in the church age, unique to the church age. So, both the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father send God the Holy Spirit to the church age believer. All right, there's several passages here that teach this. Let's start and turn over first of all to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16. John 14, verse 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and in verse 16 he says, "And I will ask the Father, God the Father, and he, the Father, will give you another parakletos." Looks like that in the Greek, that's P-A-R-A-K-L, long E-T-O-S, parakletos. And parakletos, it may be translated helper. It is one who comes by your side and helps you, comforts you, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos, another helper, that he may be with you forever, the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, that he may be with you forever." And then look over at verse 26. Verse 26, the Lord is still holding Bible class, and he says, "But the parakletos, the helper," who, and now he identifies him, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." So in these verses, we have the Father sending the Holy Spirit to every person in the church age who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now look over at chapter 15. Chapter 15, John 15, verse 26. Now I said, both the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, send the Spirit to the royal family of God, its salvation in the church age. Verse 26, now we have the Son. When the Parakletos comes, God the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of Truth. I love this title. He is called the Pneuma Aletheia. Ooh. Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M, that's the Spirit. That's God the Holy Spirit. And he's the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth. Aletheia, absolute truth. So the Spirit of absolute truth. And that is... that puts the spotlight on, why are you here? Why are we here? This short time. We're only here a short time. We're here today and we'll be gone tomorrow. And we are here for what? To please God. We are here to please God. We are here to glorify God to the maximum. Now that requires us. God has given us a unique spiritual life in this dispensation, the church age. And it must be lived by the grace and power of God, God the Holy Spirit. And why was God the Holy Spirit given, indwelt us? So that we could be filled with the Spirit and walk by the Spirit, live our life by the Spirit, and... one of the main purposes of God the Holy Spirit is to teach you the Word of God. There's nothing more important in this life, nothing more important for you than to get Bible doctrine in your soul. Learn the Word of God. 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 He is the Spirit of absolute truth. And you need to get absolute truth into your heart. That's the only way you can grow up. That's the only way you'll attain spiritual maturity. That's the only way you'll have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of absolute truth. And so if you ever find a sound Bible teaching church, then you need to get your patootie in there. Consistently and faithfully. And learn and believe the Word of God and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We're here just a short time. And if you look at America, and I love America, I never thought I would be alive to see our nation in such apostasy and degeneracy as it is today. I never thought I'd see it, but I see it. And why? Oh, there's a lot of Christians in America. It's just that nobody cares about God. Nobody cares about the Word of God. No big deal. It's just Bible doctrine. It's just absolute truth. And that characterizes the thinking of most Christians in America today. And we're in apostasy. And we're in degeneracy. And how much longer we'll continue as a client nation of God, I don't know, but we're trending the wrong way. What a great title for the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of absolute truth. We are given a mandate in 2 Peter 3:18. This is a command. It isn't an option for you, it's a command. The command is grow up spiritually. Grow up. In the grace orientation, and the knowledge, doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a command. And how do you grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? The Spirit of absolute truth teaches you the Word of God. And I'll be honest, yes, there aren't that many sound Bible teaching churches today in America. Very, very few. When you find one, it's up to you. You're free to, well, you're first of all, you're free to believe in Christ as your Savior. You're free to reject Christ. And then after you believe in Christ, you're free to assemble in a Bible teaching church and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And you're free not to do that. You're free to do your own thing. You can put your plan above God's plan. If you think you have a plan that's better than God's plan, and most Christians today think they have the best plan, but God has the best plan. God has the best plan for you ever. And His plan for you as royal family of God, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you come to the cross and you place your faith in Jesus Christ. Instantly, at that instant, God the Father imputes to each one of you His righteousness, establishing a grace pipeline. Why? Because God has a plan. And God's plan for you is He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. That's God's plan. God's plan for each one of us is to bless us above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. And at that moment of faith in Christ, instantly, the justice of God sends down that grace pipeline, 40 salvation grace blessings. 40. Instantly, at the moment of faith in Christ. And then every day, from that day right up to today, God has been sending down to each one of you logistical grace, blessing and support, temporal security, to keep you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why? So that you can fulfill the mandate to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you make good decisions to do that, then God sends down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessings in time, and greater grace blessings that will be given to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Crowns and rewards that will glorify God forever and ever and ever. God has a plan that can never be surpassed by anything you have. God's plan is to bless you, bless you, bless you. Now we all have a free will. God gave us all a free will. You chose this morning to use your free will to show up in Upland Bible Church. Well, that's great. You have a free will to continue to do that consistently and faithfully. You have the free will to say when you come here and Pastor Olson teaches. By the way, I know I look old, and hell, I am old. But I didn't write the Bible. I'm just teaching you what God put down in the Bible. He gave me a spiritual gift and then He gave me a mandate to prepare for the ministry, which I did by going to seminary and learning Greek and Hebrew, and so that when I stand up here, I'm not teaching you what I think or what people think or the translators think. I'm teaching you what God the Holy Spirit put down there. What God wants you to know. And so you're free. I'm not here to make anybody do anything. Besides that, I can't make anyone do anything. God gave you your own free will. You're free to make good decisions. You're free to make bad decisions. But if you choose to make bad decisions, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 5, those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. God will spank you. Why does He spank you? What motivates God to spank you? Because He loves you. And He wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, bless you, bless you. And when you are making bad decisions to live out of fellowship with God by your sin nature, you're going to crash and burn. God doesn't want to see you crash and burn. In our study on pleasing, God takes no pleasure in administering the sin unto death to believers. No pleasure at all. His plan is to bless you. But when you make your bad decision from your own free will, and you get out of fellowship with God, into Satan's cosmic system, God will send warning discipline. And if you don't come to your senses at that point, He sends intensive discipline. If you don't come to your senses at that point, then God brings dying discipline, the sin and the death. But it doesn't please Him to do that. He would love to bless you. He wants to bless all of us with blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. So we have this great title of God the Holy Spirit. When the Parakletos, God the Holy Spirit, the Helper, comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of absolute truth, the Spirit of doctrine, who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. And then turn over to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Parakletos, the Helper, shall not come to you. But if I go, I, Jesus Christ, will send Him to you. So you see, both the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Father send the Spirit to the church age believer. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, he is none of His. And this is the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of ame with the objective negative ouk plus the genitive singular of autos. The demonstrative pronoun houtos looks like that in the Greek. And that's a mouth. That's a mouth breathing over the word. So that's the letter H in the Greek. That's H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And houtos is used here as a substantive, that is, it's a noun, and you translate it, this one, that is, the unbeliever, houtos is resuming something previously mentioned with special emphasis. So, one, houtos puts the spotlight on the unbeliever. That member of the human race who does not place his faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. So houtos puts the spotlight on the unbeliever. Two, the unbeliever does not belong to God. The unbeliever does not belong to God. Three, the unbeliever has no indwelling Holy Spirit. The unbeliever has no indwelling Holy Spirit. Four, the unbeliever has no indwelling of the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. and no indwelling of God the Father. The unbeliever has no indwelling of the Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, and no indwelling of God the Father. And then we have a me plus the objective negative ook. This one, the unbeliever, absolutely is not. Absolutely does not. And then the genitive singular of autos. A-U-T-O-S. It uses the third person singular masculine term, and it should be translated of him or belong to him, and him is God. So the corrected translation, however, you absolutely are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to him, does not belong to God. Got that? This is very powerful. However, you absolutely are not in the flesh under the control of the sin nature, but in the Spirit, assuming that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, this one, the unbeliever, does not belong to God. One, the unbeliever has no personal relationship with the living and true God. The unbeliever has no personal relationship with the loving, with the living and true God. The unbeliever has no fellowship with the living and true God. Two, if anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, God the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. If anyone does not have the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, from Christ, Christ sends the Spirit to every person in the church age who places their faith in Jesus Christ. If anyone does not have the Spirit from Christ, God the Holy Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. Three, a person cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ apart from having the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. A person cannot have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ apart from having the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. Four, in the church age, to have a personal relationship with the living and true God, one must be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. In the church age, to have a personal relationship with the living and true God, one must be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit. And five, the only way this can happen is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the only way this can happen is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. All right, we'll take a break and give you a time to go out there. And there are always fine refreshments out there. And then we'll be back in a few for part 2.